My name is Peter Matthews. I'm at the Faculty of Social Sciences at the University of Stirling, and this is a podcast for my social policy module. I'm here today in Edinburgh in a cafe, so apologies for the noise of banging and crashing and coffee machines in the background. But I'm speaking to Beth Watts, who's a researcher at Heriot Watt University. So, Beth, first of all, just want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, my name's Beth Watts. I'm a research fellow at Heriot Watt University's Institute for Social Policy, Housing, the Environment and Real Estate. And my research focuses on homelessness, housing, and also more broadly issues of poverty and social security policy in the UK.
Thank you very much. So we're here today just to chat to you about your research on homelessness, which is really, really interesting. Suppose for my students, a good start would just be, what is homelessness?
Yeah, so the answer to that should be pretty simple, right? But it turns out it's not. For me, I think the most helpful starting point definition is that homelessness is a lack of access to minimally adequate housing. I think that's a helpful place to start. But of course, it's only the beginning of the conversation, really, because that raises questions about, you know, what's minimally adequate and what constitutes housing. So I think it's a helpful starting point, but it also raises lots of questions.
So, when thinking back, sort of like when I, in my youth, it's not that far away, when I sort of first moved to Edinburgh 12 years ago and had to stay on my friend's sofa while I was finding a flat, would I have been homeless in that situation?
I think it's fair to say that would generally be considered a borderline case. I think in a lot of cases, people who are sofa surfing, which is often used to describe that, would be considered homeless. But say, for instance, if it was a very temporary situation, it was just a stopgap while you were finding somewhere else, and crucially, you could afford to find your own housing in the private rented sector, or you were waiting to buy your own house, I don't think in general that would be considered homelessness. But let's say, for instance, you had nowhere else to go and you were staying on a friend's sofa because you'd been chucked out of your family's home and you didn't have the income with which to secure your own accommodation, I think yes, that would definitely be considered a form of homelessness.
And I think in most people's minds, when they think about homelessness, it's people sort of sleeping in doorways and that sort of thing. Is that typical for experiences of homelessness?
I think the consensus these days is that that is the extreme form of homelessness, literal homelessness, sleeping on the street, but that homelessness does take a range of other forms. So some of the elaborations on the definition of homelessness have talked about this concept of minimally adequate housing in relation to three domains. So there's the security domain, that refers to the security of tenure someone has in their housing, the practical likelihood that they're going to be evicted, and also the affordability. You know, your housing's not secure if you don't have the money to pay for it. Then there's also the physical domain, so that's about quality, protection from the weather, access to basic amenities and safety from external threat, but also the quantity, so not being severely overcrowded. And lastly, there's the social domain, so that's being able to enjoy normal social relations in the home, having privacy and being safe from internal threat. So someone experiencing domestic violence in their home would generally be considered to be homeless. So I think what you can see from that is that rough sleeping is very, very clearly an extreme form of homelessness, but lots and lots of other situations which are more hidden than that, and which often involve someone having a roof of some kind over their head would still be classed as homelessness. And actually in homelessness policy, we do see an attempt to address housing need and homelessness beyond the rough sleeping issue.
Yeah. I suppose that for me, just as we sat here talking, that automatically raised in my mind there's still quite a bit of subjectivity in that. And so if you think about those three domains you just talked about, many Roma populations or travelling populations wouldn't necessarily fit into those three categories, and yet they definitely wouldn't count themselves as homeless. They'd see their lives as being quite settled, although moving.
Yeah. I think choice is a really important concept here. And when we talk about homelessness as a lack of access to minimally adequate housing, I think relevant to that is that the lack of access, it's about not having a choice. It's about being in that situation because you're forced to be in that situation, not because you've chosen to when you have other options. Now, that takes us into really tricky territory, actually, because, you know, if you think your example of someone living in, you know, a travelling community, you know, by choice, yes, we probably wouldn't want to call that homelessness in the vast majority of cases. But what about someone who's sleeping on the street, you know, perhaps with a drug addiction, who from their perspective, says they're choosing to be there, that it's the best option for them. Does that mean we don't call that homelessness? Well, I'm not sure it does, actually. So there's a lot of complexity here.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So just to bring it sort of back to policy, it's on the more comfortable areas where there is actually some definitions. How would the Scottish Government sort of define homelessness?
So the Scottish legislative definition of homelessness, like the definition in the rest of the UK, it's quite a broad one in comparative terms. So the key concept is about, the key concepts are about having legal access to housing, but also about whether it's reasonable for someone to occupy the housing that they have. So if it's unreasonable, someone would be considered homeless. So for instance, I go back to the example of being a victim of domestic violence in your own home, or being asked to leave by the people who hold the tenancy. It wouldn't be reasonable for you to stay in those situations. Or if the quality of the accommodation was so inferior, those situations would be classed as homelessness within the Scottish legislative framework.
And how does that, you sort of said comparatively that UK definition is quite broad, how then does it compare to some sort of global definitions of homelessness and other countries' approaches to homelessness?
Well, in a lot of countries the definition of homelessness would be restricted to people sleeping on the streets, and usually it would also include people staying in temporary or emergency accommodation in hostels, so that would be a much narrower group of people than the broader UK definition, which would include people who are still in their housing but that it's not reasonable for them to continue to occupy, or they're at imminent risk of eviction or something like that.
Yeah. And from what I understand it as well, the legislation in Scotland is different to the legislation in the rest of the UK, and particularly in England. Can you simply explain what that difference is? Is it possible to simply explain what that difference is between Scotland and the rest of the UK, or particularly England?
Okay, I'll do my best, but I want to start in a slightly different place.
Okay.
The UK as a whole is really unusual in comparative perspective, because in that it uses a broad definition of homelessness, but crucially it's also unusual in that some groups of homeless people have a legally enforceable right to settled accommodation in the UK, and that is extremely rare internationally. France is possibly the only other example of that kind of approach. Some other countries, again a small number, have a legally enforceable right to emergency accommodation, but that entitlement to settled accommodation is really rare. Now, in the UK, the legislation that established this set of legal entitlements was introduced in the late 1970s. What that introduced was a distinction between homeless individuals considered to be in priority need and those not. And those considered to be a priority had this entitlement to settled housing. Now, in simple terms, those groups were families with children, or that included a pregnant woman, or vulnerable individuals, but vulnerable as defined by a very high threshold. So what you then had, and what you still have in England, is this distinction between priority need and non-priority households. And I think it's important to note that a lot of rough sleepers would be considered non-priority. So there was this twin track where, depending on the kind of household you were, you had either a very strong entitlement, your local authority was obliged to accommodate you on an emergency basis and then give you settled housing, and those who were not a priority, who got very limited help, advice and assistance. Now, what's really interesting about Scotland is that following devolution, it set up a homelessness task force which looked at these issues. It went back to first principles and said, what do we want our homelessness system to achieve? And it got rid of that distinction between priority and non-priority households. So Scotland is now very unusual, unique, I'd say, internationally, in that virtually all homeless households have an enforceable legal right to settled housing, and that includes your single rough sleeping male.
Yeah, that's sort of our stereotypical homeless person. I suppose, just to go back, that's quite interesting because it links back to what we just talked about a moment ago in terms of definitions, because that kind of adds even more complexity to that issue of definitions. But also immediately in my mind, I'm thinking about that the question of, well, how do we then measure homelessness? Do we just measure people who have presented themselves as homeless, who in the English case would be those who are in priority need, or do we use some other measures of homelessness? So I wonder what do we do? How do we go about measuring homelessness?
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. I think the approach that I and many others bring to bring to that question and our research is that we have to look at it through a number of different lenses, through a number of different data sources. So we'll start with that legislative framework we were just talking about. Because that exists, we do have clear numbers. We count the number of people who are assessed under that legislation and who are given the full statutory entitlement. So that's really useful, but it does tell us only who is entitled to assistance from their local authority. It doesn't tell us anything else. So people who aren't eligible, for instance, so some groups of migrants won't be counted within those figures, and crucially people who, for whatever reason, despite perhaps being in dire straits, haven't gone to their local authority, for whatever reason that is, they won't be counted. There's also a whole set of issues around how administrative practice has changed within local authorities in terms of what happens when someone comes to a local authority and says, I'm homeless. And that means that the trends we see in statutory homelessness, official homelessness, actually tell us a lot more about changes in administrative process than changes in actual housing need. Yeah. So that's definitely only one source of data on homelessness.
So just to clarify that point then, it's just basically when people present to a local authority to access services around housing, they're not being necessarily immediately, it's not sort of said you are homeless, it's actually other things are happening, interventions are happening to support those people.
Yeah, so what will happen now is, and this has been the case in Scotland since around 2011-12, there will be a strong emphasis on preventing homelessness. So instead of saying we'll take your application under the statutory homelessness legislation and then you will be counted as homeless, there'll be a whole set of efforts to prevent homelessness, to enable the person to stay in their own accommodation or to secure others. And if that is successful, or if the person disengages at that point, that person won't be counted in the statutory statistics. So what that meant was that there's been a significant decline in homelessness applications since then. We saw a similar, if more dramatic, process in England when this preventative approach was introduced in the early 2000s. So what that means is it's still a useful barometer of some things, but really we need to look elsewhere to look at trends in housing need and homelessness.
So where would you look?
A number of places. So we talked earlier about literal, the most extreme form of homelessness, rough sleeping. Now, this is really tricky to measure in lots of ways, and there are various ways of doing it. Street counts or estimates are used. So in England, every year, every local authority has to either count or estimate the number of rough sleepers on the streets. And these are added up, and that gives us some sense of the national figure, although it's generally considered that that's an underestimate. And it is a point in time figure. In London, there is very good data on rough sleeping, and that's because there is a very well-established set of outreach services that go out at night and try and engage rough sleepers. And the data collected through that gives us very detailed information about the rough sleepers in London, how many, where they're from, what their support needs are. It's a great data source. We don't have anything like that in Scotland. There are other ways of counting rough sleepers, so self-reporting of people in touch with crisis services. In Scotland, the way it's done is that people who approach their local authority for help as homeless are asked if they slept rough the night before, and they are asked if they are long-term rough sleepers. So that gives us some sense, but as I explained earlier, not everyone who's in those positions will go to their local authority, so it's only a partial figure. It doesn't really tell us exactly what's going on, and that's why some people in Scotland have called for a count of rough sleeping again.
There's those ways of counting rough sleepers then, but I think the big thing that often makes the headlines that people hone in on is housing waiting lists and sort of the number of people on local authority housing waiting lists. I think in Scotland now it's like 150,000 people are waiting for a home from a local authority or a registered social landlord. What does that tell us about homelessness? Should we use those figures in considering homelessness?
I think it tells us something about levels of housing need. It definitely wouldn't be where I would look to get a sense of homelessness for lots of reasons. First of all, there'll be some people who are homeless who aren't on those waiting lists, either because they're not eligible to be on those waiting lists, or they don't want to live in social housing, or they don't know about that system, or local authorities may be making efforts to reduce the numbers of people on their waiting lists. There's a big controversy around this in England at the moment. There'll also, by the same token, be lots of people on those waiting lists who aren't homeless, even on a broad definition, who you wouldn't class as homeless. These might be people who want to live in social housing, but you know, they can access housing in the private rented sector. Maybe they're young and they can still live with their parents. So yeah, I think it's a good measure of housing need, as long as you've taken into account what's going on administratively as well in terms of how those waiting lists are managed. But I wouldn't say it's a good measure of homelessness.
So there's something quite different there then in terms of what housing need is, and homelessness. Homelessness is sort of administratively different and qualitatively different.
Yeah, I think they're related, but distinct concepts: housing need and homelessness.
Okay, thank you very much.